So let us pray. Tender, loving God, God of strength, kindness, and compassion, let us come to you in confidence through your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us, asking you to bring us into a new life by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, breathe on us again, that we may be true to glorify your holy name. So let us hear your word anew today, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The links, as we've been talking about, between the two readings today, is all about choice. Jeremiah, for instance, he chose to speak God's word and faced hostility from others. Jesus, his disciples, chose to follow him, and in that found their families split apart. However, where people make the right choice, the joy of faith is intense, as we share all that Christ Jesus has gained for us. So true. Jeremiah, throughout his career, struggled against prophets that said what they thought the king wanted him to hear. And in that, refused the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. Here we see God condemn those that dress up their false messages with dreams. And those, in this case, Jeremiah gains God's approval, whatever the human response. Now, I've been in churches and I've spoken God's word, and you just see the face is looking at you as if nothing's happening, nothing's sinking in. And I've been in places where I've spoken, and you think people are sound asleep, and they're not. And I've been in places when they get fed up with you, they start really yawning. So I'm watching. Thank you, Anne. So Jeremiah chose to speak God's word faithfully, no matter what the consequences. And he went through a lot. And he uses those three images in the book, Jeremiah. Straw, for instance. Straw is nothing and wheat is valuable. We see that at the moment they're doing the harvesting. Is it early or have I got that wrong? It seems to be early, the harvesting this year. No? It's the right time of year. Maybe I got it wrong last year because of the heat. They did it quick. No, so there we see the wheat is gathered and it is a valuable commodity because we need wheat for bread and so forth. Fire burns rubbish. And it says, however, it cannot harm metal. And finally, a hammer breaks rock to shape it for the building work. The text is all about the difference between self-interest and those who chose to follow God. And Luke's gospel reiterates this message of choice. And Jesus uses two images in this case that focus on the separation of right and wrong, fire and baptism. Fire in those days was a primary source of heat and light. No gas central heating or electricity in those days. Most likely what fire refers to here is to judgment. Refining the fire, refining the metal. I don't know if you've ever been to a blacksmith to watch them work. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to watch them. They refine the metal, keep sticking it into the fiery furnace and burning away the rubbish. And then, yeah, using the hammer to make the metal pure. And then second, Jesus uses the language of baptism, the power of water, to wash away the dirt and be clean. It was a reminder to his hearers. Many of them would have known for themselves the renewed life that came with baptism, as it is today. However, Jesus is also using this metaphor to describe the death and renewed life that he will face on the cross. And in a rare moment, he tells us that he finds this stressful. His humanness finds this stressful. I know I would. Both these images imply the need to make a decision about who Jesus is. In 2003, a book by Bob, I think I got the name right, Shogan and Gerald Robson was first published, and it was titled Cat and Dog Theology. Now, I don't know if you're a cat person or a dog person, but this is slightly different. Now, I do recommend this book. I haven't actually read it myself. I've read bits of it, but not all of it. It is a very good book, actually. So, cat and dog theology. And what is generally about the God-given traits of cats, for instance? You exist to serve me. And then we have the trait of a dog, for instance. I exist to serve you. That's just a thought. Choices. That's what it's about. So choices. We use choice, the word choice, in different concepts and contexts. By choice, which basically means of one's own accord, for instance. It was my choice. By choice, I chose to do that. Of choice, for instance. Selected as one's favourite or best. By choice, I wore this today. And it means a lot of it. It's been hanging in my wardrobe for, probably around about 15 odd years. I think this is the third time I've ever worn this tie. But this morning, that's what came into my head. Choose that tie. It might have been because it fell out the tie rack, but there you go. But something said, you've got to choose this tie. Of one's choice. That one chooses or has chosen. If we look at chose, the word chose. Yeah, it's the past tense of choose, but it's all about picking out someone special or something as being the best or most appropriate of two or more alternatives. So today in our culture, we have so much choice, and we can be quite daunted with that choice in our culture. In other cultures, it's different. They don't have as much choice. For example, a very dear, he was my best mate. Dale was his name. He's not with us anymore. He died quite young. But I don't know if you remember when Romania was liberated, if you want to call it that, in the 1990s, 1989, I think. My mate went over there with others. He was a plumber, a very good plumber. And he went over there to Romania, to the orphanages, which was in a dire, terrible state. And the staff tried their best with the resources they had. No sanitation, and you had these little children rocking about in their cots, just like wounded animals. He went there to put sanitation in, plumbing, which he did. He did all that. That was his choice. But when he came back to this country, it took him 6 months to a year to actually go into a supermarket because of the choice that's there. And what he witnessed in Romania, there wasn't any choice. They went there to try, and in their own way, he wasn't a Christian, but took him to quite a few things. And he just couldn't cope. Took him a good year before he could even enter a supermarket because of the choice. And there I was yesterday, quite daunting, because my missus, who's here today, asked me to choose her glasses. You got a whole rack full of glasses. Come on. That was daunting, I'll tell you. Well, I chose quite a few, and Trish seemed okay with them. And it was confirmed by the person who was dealing with Trish regarding the lenses and so forth. Yes, they look nice. So when you see her next, and she has her new glasses on, say they look nice, okay? They really suit her. They do, actually. But I'm biased. But there you go. Where am I? Yep, here we go. So let's look at other scripture to see what Jesus has to say about choosing. Let's look at that. And I mentioned it, John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and anointed you to go and bear fruit. And we're talking about fruit of the vine. Fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Tough statement, that, if you think of it. Jesus chose me. Hold on a minute, didn't I sort of choose him when I became a Christian? I've been working that out in my head for quite a while. But what I forget, which is really important, is God's will. What does God want? His will. So as Christians, we believe that we follow Christ as a result of our own voluntary, uncoerced free will. As I said, is it not free will that is part of God's primary purpose for mankind? It is. So in reality, our will was moved to follow Jesus implicitly by the will of God. David's psalm, which I read at the beginning, part of his psalm, just hits the nail on the head. If you haven't already read it, I'm sure you have. Read it again and really feel that and think about that choice. God chose me. David realized that in that psalm. He couldn't get away from it. Read that psalm. God knows each one of us. This is what that psalm says, and I believe it. God knows each one of us from our very, very, very conception, beginning. We were not and are not forced to follow Christ. It is true that we are willing and that thus not coerced, but it is also true that the process of action is the result in choosing Christ. Is in fact the work of God through the action of God's Holy Spirit. Our willingness is a result of God's faithfulness. Doesn't it feel good to be chosen by Christ? It does. It sure does. To be of our Christ, our Lord, and be part of something really special. As Christians, we are drawn to the reality of the gospel. Despite it sounding totally unreasonable, so that believing such an unbelievable story, such as rising from the dead, the gospel, in my opinion, was actually designed in such a way that our faith would rest in our own knowledge. But rest in the faithfulness of God. I'm going to leave that with you. So let us pray. Gracious and faithful God, so often we find ourselves pressed by life and choices and forget the hope and power that comes from you. And the knowledge that you chose us through your Son. Let that be for us today. No matter how dark or hopeless the situations or choices we have, you are with us at all times, ready to equip and strengthen us for a new day, which is forever. Amen.